The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on earth, distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then Jesus told them the parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your Son, the one who has come and the one who will come again. And we pray that as we begin this Advent journey, you would fill our hearts and our spirits and our lives with the hope that comes through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. So it's the first Sunday of Advent, so there's the mandatory part of the sermon that I have to do. Because it's Advent. Advent is the season of waiting, of expectations, of getting ready, of preparing. And in the world, that means watching endless TV commercials about Black Friday, Cyber Monday, about seeing what gifts are the good gifts to give this year. I think it's the Cuisinart. Five-in-one grill appears to be on the top of the list. And then it's the Hallmark movie channel. And the guy and the girl always find each other and fall in love and get married. How many variations of that can there be? And then Lifetime picks it up. Advent. It's the season of preparing, of getting ready to hope, to rejoice, and to watch. In the world, we prepare very differently for Christmas. It's about gifts, it's about giving, it's about family. And I don't want to diminish any of that. But it was very interesting as we were getting ready to come out yesterday, the singers and the players. Beth gave the same speech to the musicians that I give to the bride and groom at a wedding. No matter how much preparation you put in, no matter what you've done, no matter how well you think things are going to go, something's going to go horribly wrong. Just live with it. And so that's part of the message of Advent for us, is we need to remember that as we prepare our homes for family and gifts and trees and wreaths and lights, take a deep breath. Stand back and remember that no matter what you do, it's not going to be perfect. And live in the imperfection. Now, as Christians, we also prepare ourselves during the season of Advent for Christ who will come again. And one of the main themes of Advent are these wonderful words, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. In fact, they appear in the Bible 120 plus times. Do not be afraid.
And that's a wonderful reminder for us as we begin the season of hope, of expectation, the season of love. Don't be afraid. It's a promise from God that no matter what happens, no matter how horribly bad something goes, God is with us, with God's grace, with God's love, with God's power, with God's peace. As I think about the texts for today, I'm drawn back to my growing up in the Roman Catholic Church. Because during the communion liturgy, and this is a shout out to Jeanette and to Dr. Isidro in the back there, in the communion liturgy, we always proclaim every Sunday, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Yeah, we do it sometimes in the Lutheran liturgy, but not as much as the Catholics. And think about what that means for us as the people of God. Christ has died, we know that. Christ is risen, we know that. As Lutherans, we say that we know that the kingdom of God will come. We live in the already, the reality that God will save the world, that God will bring peace, that God will bring justice, that God will destroy the powers of sin, death, and the devil. The already. But it hasn't happened yet. It's kind of maybe like looking under the tree and seeing the gift. Oh, you want to open it up so bad. You know what's in there. You're just shaking with excitement. But no, not yet. God of the already, but the not yet. And it's hard because we live in a world that God will save, that God is redeeming, but it hasn't happened yet. So what does that mean for us as the people of God? Because I think that's what's important. How do we live knowing that in God all things will be made new, but it hasn't happened yet? And I think the first thing comes in a promise from the words of the prophet Jeremiah. A promise of the kingdom and of a righteous ruler that will arise from the branch, from the family of David. There's a promise that God is righteous and God is just. And God will impart God's righteousness and justice to God's people. That's the hope that we hold up for as the people of God. That in God all things will be made new. And it's incredible because as I look out, and as I think about what that means, and as I think about the fact that it means that God is continuing to work among God's people, as I look at the tree and I think about the blessings, we are truly blessed. It was kind of fun this morning. I kind of watched all the buzzing and the kind of moving around church this morning as people were getting ready. And speaking of buzzing, Cindy's going to talk to us later about why we need to buy bees. So this is a shameless plug for buying bees. But I watched as people came into the building this morning. And it was interesting. Because there's water in the pulpit so that the preacher doesn't go dry. I cannot chant if my life depended on it. And yet, Myrna stepped up and chanted the liturgy. We had a few little hiccups with some of the bulletin stuff, but we got through it. And there was coffee, and there was all sorts of stuff. And as I kind of watched everything, I realized that every Sunday when we come into this place, we come together as the people of God. And we all have a place in the life and the ministry and the kingdom work that we're doing here. And sometimes in spite of us, it gets done. But I think more often because we are open with glad and generous hearts, we see things come together for the good and for the glory of God. So as I ramble a little bit more, I'm still thinking about that question. Where does God meet us today? Because Because I think that's something we want to know. Where does God meet us today, especially in light of Luke's gospel? And I think the first part of the gospel tells us that there's chaos. There's this sense of disjointedness, the sense that someone else is in control, the sense that we are not in control. We got Earth, we got moon, we got stars, we got all this stuff going on, we got chaos. But where does God meet us in the chaos? And it comes in the verse where Jesus says, "Stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near." And I think that where God meets us in the chaos is to say, open your eyes and look at what's going on around you through different eyes. Because as people of God, we have a different way of seeing the world. When we look to the world, we don't see the chaos. But we see where God is working in redeeming and recreating and in renewing the world. It's a different way of looking at the world. It's a way of knowing that God is in charge and good things are happening. And I know sometimes that's hard to believe. And I know sometimes we want to do more. I want to save the whole world. I want to make everything good, don't you? Yeah, we want everything to be good and happy and hopeful. We want wars to cease. We want everybody to have enough food. We want clean water. We want no illness. Anybody opposed to any of those things? I didn't think so. And into that chaotic world where none of that happens, God calls us. And what does God call us to do? And I like this. One of the Lutheran theologians of today, David Losey, says, "It is not our job to save the world, because Jesus has promised to save the world. It is our job to care for those in the little corner of the world we happen to inhabit. It is our job, that is, to offer an alternative to the fear that so corrodes the world." For us, that's a wonderful command and promise and release. Because what it reminds us of as the people of God is that, first of all, we are called to do what we do well, to be in mission, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to house the homeless, to reach out with God's love to those around us. We are called, we are commanded to do that. But the promise within that, the release within that, is that we are called to do it where we are. We are called to be the people of God in this community, in this congregation in Galesburg in Knox County. We are called to do the work of God here, to neighbor. And that's important. Because as I've watched this congregation for 6 years as the husband sitting in the background, sometimes I get out front and get a little. But what I've seen is I have seen the love of neighbor grow and flourish in this place. In fact, I was filling out some paperwork, and I called it a radical hospitality. The fact that anybody who walks through the doors of this place is welcomed with the love of God. Doesn't happen everywhere. Sometimes we judge those who walk through the doors. We look at those. I served a congregation where someone came in and after church they said, "We don't want that kind of family." And I said, "Why?" They said, "They don't have enough money." That doesn't happen in this place. And I think finally, ultimately, as I look at Advent, as we wrap it all together, as we think about the God who has defeated the powers of sin, death, and the devil, the God who loves us no matter what, the God who compels us, who asks us, who commands us to love neighbor, I think that's where the hope is for all of us. is that we are doing it. We are doing what God calls us to do. We are being neighbors. We are reaching out beyond our walls. We are opening our doors. We are loving one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ, continue to love one another with the love and the grace and the forgiveness that God has put in your hearts and your hands.